In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today's Mass is being offered for the intentions of Father Sotero on the day of his anniversary of his ordination, 41 years. Happy feast day. Feast of St. Anthony today in a special way. And I'm going to talk to you about a little-known devotion here in just a moment. So a little-known devotion of St. Anthony. How many of you have heard about the nine Tuesdays of St. Anthony? Las nueve martes del San Antonio. No? Ni Lidia, ni Margarita, ni Cynthia. No? Nobody's heard about them. That's good. You're going to learn something new today. You're going to learn something new today. So I'm going to talk to you about that. It's a devotion that goes back way back in the church. And those who pray through this custom, it can begin at any time. The tradition is that it begins on the first Tuesday. I think it is after. I have to look at my source real quick to give you accurate information instead of just what occurs to me in my mind in the moment. Where is it? Well, one of my good friends taught me about it a couple of days ago, and I'm trying to see where I put it. So here it is. Okay. So I saved it here. Where is it? A perpetual novena of nine Tuesdays goes on in continuation with the Association of St. Anthony, which was canonically erected in the Shrine of St. Anthony in Dublin. But it can begin in any Tuesday of the year. It can begin at any time during the year. And so all you have to do is recite nine consecutive Tuesdays, the prayers which you find most appropriate to St. Anthony. I've got a nice one here, and I forgot to print it out for you. I apologize for that, to do that before we came into Mass today. But to do that, to say prayers to St. Anthony for nine consecutive days, endeavor to imitate the virtues of St. Anthony, and to receive, and then you will receive within that period of novena, if possible, the sacrament of the Eucharist worthily. Worthily receive the Blessed Sacrament, and then promise alms for St. Anthony's bread for the poor, if you have the means to be able to do so. So to give to the poor in that way. So it consists of prayers, a desire within one's heart to imitate, to receive Holy Communion sometime during that novena, hopefully on the last day of the novena, the last Tuesday of the novena, and then to promise to give an alms of some kind, some sort of mercy in that way to help for the work of the poor, which is the work of the Franciscans, there. And so, since today is not Tuesday, but we can pray these efficacious prayers to St. Anthony, begin with that, and then I'll go into sharing with you a little meditation on the life of St. Anthony. So here's the prayer. O holy St. Anthony, one of the gentlest and kindest of all the saints, your burning love of God, your exalted virtue and your great charity towards your fellow creatures made you worthy when you were here on earth to possess miraculous powers of an exalted kind. The miracles waited on your word, and that word you were ever ready to speak at the request of those in trouble. The anxious prayer of bitter trial was never addressed to you in vain. To the sick you gave back health. To you restored what was lost. To the sorrow-stricken you gave back health. To the sorrow-stricken were the objects of your tender compassion. Even the dead you raised to life when the wounded heart cried out for you from the depths of its anguish. When on earth nothing was impossible to you except not to have compassion on those in distress and in sorrow. Encouraged by these happy thoughts and convinced of the efficacy of your intercession, I kneel before your holy image in full confidence, and I implore for you to obtain for me this particular request which I make to you now. The answer to this, my prayer, may require even a miracle. Even so, you are the saint of miracles who, when on earth, had but to speak and the mightiest words were wrought. O gentle and loving St. Anthony, whose heart was ever full of sympathy, whisper my prayer into the ears of the infant Jesus, who you love to linger upon your arms. One word from you, and my prayer will be granted. O speak, that the word of gratitude of my heart, it will be forever yours. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I want to share with you something about the saint. We know that he is the patron saint of lost things, right? I've shared with you a few years ago on why it was, where he had lost his breviary. He spent his book there, and God returned it through a very scary and illustrious means. I'm not going to tell you that exact same story today. I also told you on the same day how St. Anthony raised that soul from death to life, not to vindicate his father, who was accused of murdering the man, not even to in any way provide for the life for this person to live forever, live eternally on this life, but really so that he could be saved in eternity because he had died in a state of grievous sin. I want to share with you something about the lilies of St. Anthony. St. Anthony is always depicted with lilies. That's what you see there in his arms, the lily of purity, which is there. And do you know why that is, that he is always bearing lilies within him? Not just to symbolize his purity, but it actually has something to do with miracles wrought after his death. I'll share with you a little bit of that, story. St. Anthony, and the meditation that I'm going to give you is a little excerpt that I drew from a book called The Nine Tuesdays of St. Anthony of Padua. An old book, I think it was written in the put together in the 1900s, early 1900s. But here's what it says. It says this. On St. Anthony's feast day, the 13th of June, there's a ceremony of blessing lilies, and it takes place as a custom originated and is commemorated in a special manifestation of St. Anthony at Marcasso in Corsica. During one of the revolutions, there were Franciscans who were driven into exile, but their church remained open, and a public procession was made to that church every year on the feast of the wonder worker St. Anthony. For this occasion, a temporary altar was raised in the center main aisle of the church. Garlands of flowers were hung above the saint's head, and his feet there were placed roses and other flowers and lilies of spotless white stood out against a green background of laurel and myrtle. One year, the man who had been appointed as a sacristan, he neglected to remove the statue of St. Anthony at the conclusion of this particular feast. And after a lapse of several months, he went there with a few of his helpers, realizing this grave error, and went to that deserted church in order to complete his work and to take down the statue as well as all the flowers, which by now would be reduced to nothingness. So returning to that church that day, to their surprise and great joy, they found the lilies as fresh and as white as they were on the day when they had been placed there many, many months ago, while the roses and other flowers lay withered and dead. In a similar instance of St. Anthony's great interest in his clients occurred in Austria in 1680 on the saint's feast. A freshly cut lily had been placed in one of the hands of this statue, and for a whole year the flower remained as fresh and as white as the first day it was put there. The next year, the same stem bore two new lilies, which filled the whole church which their fragrance was, and this fast, in fact, was testified to by many eyewitnesses, among whom was Don Charles Gorty, who on August 11, 1681, made an official report of the miraculous event. Permission to bless the lilies in honor of St. Anthony was given by Pope Leo XIII, and many miracles of healing have been obtained through St. Anthony's intercession after applying this blessed flower at his feet. St. Anthony and the lilies. You didn't know that before, did you? St. Anthony is not just one who bears the lilies because lilies represent purity, but he's one who works miracles through those lilies as well. And so, if you ever feel the need or the desire to do so here within our church or even within your own altars at home, to make that devotion of laying particularly lilies at him and trust that his great intercession, this powerful wonder worker, will indeed take you up as one of his clients. I'll make sure at the end of Mass to go rush to the church and print out a few of these novenas for you if you'd like. I should have brought them before, but I just flat out forgot to do so. And my skill is not as good as probably some of yours is to translate it into Spanish, but if you'd like it, I'll make an attempt, but it'd probably be better if you translated it for me since my skill is not so great. Maybe that's something that your sister can work on after she's finished slaving at the restaurant on these evenings there. We'll put it to her maybe. Something now in Spanish. Nuestro Evangelio danos el ejemplo de justicia humana, ojo por ojo, diente por diente. La queja común que de los niños es, hazme igual como él, quiero tener lo que ella tuvo. Ellos me hicieron esto, deberíamos devolvérselo. Tristísimamente, en los disturbios de Black Lives Matter y otro, venimos a los adultos a actuar de la misma manera. Esta justicia de herir a otros tanto como me hieren, nunca llega a la paz. Solo más destrucción, más daño, más injusticia. Pero Jesús nos llama a una justicia superior. Esta justicia es una justicia de amor, es una justicia del perdón. Es una justicia de no ofrecer resistencia al que es malo, que dice hoy en el Evangelio. El camino de Jesús es de humanizar a nuestros adversarios, a nuestros opresores. Cuando damos a un enemigo más de lo que espera quitarnos, le alejamos del pecado. Ellos quieren robar, Así que nosotros ofrecemos liberalmente. ¿Quién herir? ¿Quieren herir? Buscamos su consuelo. ¿Quieren humillarnos? Y nos humillamos aún más. Desde el punto de vista humano, esto no tiene sentido. Pero pensando desde una perspectiva eterna, muestra que nos preocupa algo más grande que esta vida. Por aseguramos de tener todas las canicias, o cosechas, o monedas para nosotros en esta vida. Con este amor radical, con nuestro desinterés radical, mostramos que nuestro verdadero tesoro está en el cielo, donde la polila y el óxido no pueden destruir, donde los ladrones no pueden entrar a robar. Esta es la verdadera marca de un cristiano. To have our treasure, as our Lord says in the Gospel of Matthew, where our heart is, there also will our treasure be. Not where moth and rust destroy, not where thieves are able to break in and steal. This is the true mark of a Christian. San Antonio escribe sobre una respuesta que produce la verdadera paz entre los hombres. Habla de la gracia del sí, de la fiat, de la Virgen María. Escuchad sus palabras. Él se dice, nuestra mediadora, la Santísima Virgen María, ha logrado la paz entre Dios y los pecadores. Como el arco iris en las nubes después del diluvio, fue el signo de la alianza entre Dios y la tierra. Así María es verdaderamente el signo de la alianza y la paz entre Dios y el pecador. Cosa maravillosa, dice el sabio, es el sol, obra del Altísimo. La Virgen María es una obra de maravilla aún mayor, pues fue la cámara nupcial en la que se encarnó el Hijo de Dios, el santuario del Espíritu Santo, la morada de la Santísima Trinidad, pues el que me creo descanso en mi tienda. Oh, obra ciertamente maravillosa, pues el Hijo de Dios la hizo más bella que todas las demás criaturas, más santa que todos los santos, y luego en ella tomó forma humana y se hizo uno de nosotros. Conclusión de las palabras de San Antonio. Entonces, hermanos y hermanas, oremos. Ven, Señor Jesús. Ven, Señor Jesús, has venido a nosotros en María, en su seno. Vienes a nosotros en el sacramento del altar. Ven y llévanos por medio de María y tu Eucaristía, más allá de este valle de lágrimas, la paz eterna donde tú habitas. Amén. En el nombre del Padre, del Hijo y del Espíritu Santo.